Hi, Mike Ladd with you again on Radio National Summer, and today we're bringing you a program out of the vault and a personal favourite, 925, The Poetry of Work, first broadcast in the year 2000.
Questions from a worker who reads. Who built Thebes at the Seven Gates? In the books you'll find the names of kings. Did the kings haul up the lumps of rock?
And Babylon, many times demolished. Who raised it up so many times? In what houses of gold-glittering Lima did the builders live? Where, the evening that the Wall of China was finished, did the masons go?
Great Rome is full of triumphal arches. Who erected them? Over whom did the Caesars triumph?
Had Byzantium, much praised in song, only palaces for its inhabitants? Even in fabled Atlantis, the night the ocean engulfed it, the drowning still bawled for their slaves.
Part of Questions from a Worker Who Reads by Bertolt Brecht. Today our program is about a unique poetry magazine called 925, which existed in Australia between 1978 and 1983. Its credo was poetry for the workers, by the workers, about the workers' work. It lasted for 20 issues, reached a print run of 3,000, and was mostly given away free, surviving on donations and the massive energy of the Melbourne Collective who produced it. Pio, Yelchi, Jazz H. Duke, Kathy Johns, Barry MacDonald, Thalia, and many others. A best of 925, edited by Yelchi, has recently been published, and Poetica attended the launch at the Melbourne Trades Hall.
Dads on the midnight shift again don't rules. Five kids, endless dumb afternoons, having a bit of bloody consideration. Dad's asleep, mum's on patrol. Dad slept through five births, five first school days, 14 of Stedfords, five first communions, and when we all became soldiers of Christ. Slept when Peter joined the railways, when Moll went to Sydney hairdressing, when two grannies and two granddads died, and when Auntie Pole forgot a hearing aid and didn't see the train. Slept when Danny did his first drawing and failed his 50th exam, when Helen at 17 went to uni and sleeps now, she's a teacher. Dreamt she was posted out west, and thought he saw her last August when the boys played rough on a holiday. Once I caught him between bed and work, a big man, toppled beer in hand on a chrome and vinyl chair and said, Dad, Dad. He turned as if whatever propped him up had melted and focused on me. Dad, I got 100. I got 100 for shorthand. Oh, well, he said, do better next time. Dad woke up one school holiday and took us fishing at Yeppoon. But he slept on the rocks while the tide came in, woke stranded and cried, hey, why didn't you bloody tell me?
The first editorial of 9to5 said 9to5's aim was to communicate in a common tongue. Poetry for centuries had ignored people, so we understand audiences ignoring poetry. It said there are two types of poetry, pure and applied. This was applied poetry, poetry that got its hands dirty. Poetry written by poets who use the raw materials of their jobs as the basis of that poetry.
We invited people to define work and not to sort of just stick to definitions of what other forces might think work really is and how work should be structured. So in every issue, we stressed that we really wanted people to write about what they thought their work was.
The first issue had seven contributors, two clerks, a part-time teacher, a technical officer, a draftsman, a welfare officer, and a typist. No sooner was the first issue out than the second one was on its way, because a lot of people who saw the first issue took it to work and gave it out. And it instantly solved a major problem for a small publisher, for a small magazine. and that was the notion of distribution. The second editorial said it wanted labourers, conductors, welders, street cleaners and truck drivers, including people on the dole whose voices had been silenced, including prisoners, wards of the state and housewives. It said, forget about writing like Byron and Shelley and write your poems in your own language, the way you talk.
Digging back through my own collection of Australian poetry mags from the 70s and 80s, I find a clutch of 925s. They had a great handmade look, put together before PCs when choice of font was determined by whatever your manual typewriter came with. The covers could have been designed by Malevich or one of the other Russian constructivists. Next to the poets' names was always what job they did. Pio, draftsman. Yelchi, clerk. Barry MacDonald, teacher, social worker. And so on. As well as poetry, there were items from the press, photo montages by Peter Lisiotis, and concrete poetry by Jazz H. Duke, Pio and others. 925 came out at a time of high unemployment in Australia. The magazine was proudly left-wing. It was us and them, giving a platform to manual workers, home workers, migrant workers and the unemployed.
The metal appears. Pull it through against the stop. Right! Chop. Again, the metal appears. Pull it through against the stop. Right! Chop. 600 sheets. Four times a sheet. Aluminium, guillotine. Me and him. All day. I think of her. And my reflection in the metal says, there has to be more to it than this.
Verica's story. I told them the cement floor turned my legs blue. That's what my doctor told me. Blue strings of pain, red drips on my calves throbbing at day's end. They cut the drumstick open and cleaned the tubes with brushes. The bill came. They wanted 500. We couldn't pay. I went to the foreman and told him, your cement floor turned my legs blue. What about some compensation? The foreman asked the boss, who asked the company doctor, who asked me, how do you know it's the floor? Do Verica's veins run in the family? I don't know. The boss says, we need the cement floor to wash the blood away. And the foreman takes me aside and says, we don't like troublemakers. I go to the union. The union says, why didn't you see us before? I think, why didn't you warn us before? The union sends a lawyer to the boss and the company offers 100. The union accepts and we sell the car. Now everyone exercises their legs.
This is my tea lady's poem. The tea trolleys have been dispensed with. We now have a cafe bar machine. It has a plastic mat and a metal claw to hold the plastic cup. You press the key, you stand on the mat, and the cup comes down. Sometimes, though, not one, not two, but three plastic cups come down at once and coffee runs all over your hands and the plastic mat. Alice comes in to clean the machine because the machine can't clean itself. The commission has justified its position by employing former tea ladies to clean up the slops and stock up the machines. One woman has bruises all over her arms from boxes that are too heavy for her. But the bosses make a joke of it. They call her the little mother and she runs from machine to machine to clean and fill up with Milo muck, sweet foamy dairy substitutes and chicken motor sodium glutamate and bottles of sweet sickly cordial. Alice hasn't been to the toilet once since they took her off the tea round. The machine is on all day and all night and on public holidays, and while you're having your summer vacation, the machine stays on. Black, no sugar. Black with sugar, white, no sugar, white with sugar, tea black, no sugar, tea white, no sugar, tea black with sugar, tea white with sugar. Just press the key and the cup comes down. George said it didn't look like tea. We said it probably wasn't. George said, coffee is usually better. I'll try the coffee instead. And he put in his money and he pressed a button and he stood on the plastic mat and the cup came down the chute. And through the Perspex window, we could see what he was getting. Chicken soup.
Regional Employment Development Scheme. Once I worked on a jackhammer outside the monkey cage at the zoo. When I finished, my arms reached almost to my feet, and the pay was peanuts.
I want to read some letters from 9 to 5. Now, the whole series of what we called wow letters. Hello, 9 to 5. When I first saw your material, I was really astonished. It seemed to me that these people were trying to do something impossible. Dear sirs, Mrs., Ms., and Ms., having just finished reading number 7, I am jumping up and down in my clothes with delight. Hello, 9 to 5. Recently, a friend showed me a copy of 9 to 5 and I was flabbergasted. The effect on me was staggering. Dear... These are real letters, you know. Dear 9 to 5ers, you know how to use real language. Wake us up. Dear 9 to 5, my family and myself read your poems. We were all affected by them and discussed them a lot. My daughter would like to donate $5, my sister also $5, and my husband and myself $10. We hope it helps. Hello, 9 to 5. I was browsing in a bookshop and saw the latest copy of 9 to 5. I quickly looked through it, having seen it around before, but was deterred by the price, 50 cents. Not because it was excessive, but due to the fact that I didn't have 50 cents. Pissed off, declining into a state of depression, I rapidly left the bookshop and, ambling up the street with my head checked out, my feet, and lo and behold, I saw a copy of 9 to 5 lying on the footpath, discarded and alienated, like all of us. Without hesitation, I pounced on it to ensure that I too could once again share the offerings of those stuck in the 9 to 5. Dear sir, please cancel my subscription to 9 to 5. I find it too narrow, i.e. only about work. I'm sure T.S. Eliot never wrote a poem, A Day at Faber and Faber. Or Wallace Stevens, The Joys of an Executive. I feel like saying, why don't you stop wanking about this work kick and look to eternity and magic, the realm of real poetry. Dear 9 to 5, thanks for sending me the magazines. Tomorrow, I'm going to GMH to distribute them. This mag represents an opportunity for people to express themselves who normally have their self-expression crushed by machines, conveyor belts, TVs, etc. And it was signed Mike Ladd, who is running Poetica on the ABC. And that was very, very young Mike Ladd.
OK, I should at this point declare an interest. 9 to 5 published some of my first poems. My occupation was listed as fruit picker, which was my principal source of income in those days. I did in fact go down to the gates of General Motors Holden at clock-off time to hand out 9 to 5s. I was greeted by the blank looks of tired workers, a few others who gladly took copies and started reading them, someone else who said he was happy to have one as he was out of toilet paper. Yes, my own approach was naive, but the fact is that 9 to 5 did achieve distribution to people who would never normally pick up a poetry magazine, and this was mainly done through the writers taking the mags to their own workplaces.
Telephone exchanges are temperature sensitive. That's why all the windows are so small, and why we all huddle round the one in the middle thinking, it's too good a day to be working. The telephone switching centres are far more temperature sensitive than human beings. If transistors or relays get too hot or too cold, then they could blow a fuse. And if the windows are too big, then the cost of air conditioning increases. Humans are far more flexible. We can survive without big windows. It just means that between 7:30 and 7:50, we warm ourselves in the 6-foot by 3-foot sunbeam and talk about how we could be at home, sitting in the backyard or down the beach feeding seagulls.
Conversation at work for Heather's aunt. Hello? Yes? No. No, no. I'm at work. Now. Oh, dear. Oh, I see. Yes, yes. Get your shopping done Thursday. I said, get your shopping done Thursday. Tomorrow. Yes. 5:30. Some open late Thursday. Late. I don't know. Does it? Yeah, I said sometimes on Thursday they stay open later. Yes. Oh, that wouldn't matter. That's a good idea. Why? No, that's possible. That night, nobody. I suppose on Saturday. Okay, right. Okay. Oh, not housebroken, Sandy said. Cat is not housebroken yet. Ask. Now. Now, don't be like that. The cat isn't housebroken. The cat. No, no. She isn't housebroken. Sandy, I'll tell you when I see you. No, no, I know that. Now, don't worry. I'll tell later, later, yeah, later. Yes, bye, bye. Yes, later.
Quotations. When a man tells you that he got rich through hard work, ask him, whose? Work is what you do so that sometime you won't have to do anymore. Work is the greatest thing in the world, so we should save some of it for tomorrow. When a man retires and time is no longer of urgent importance, his colleagues usually present him with a watch. I've met a few people in my time who were enthusiastic about work, and it was just my luck that all of them happened to be men I was working for at the time. Mice and computers don't mix. In a recent CSIRO experiment at Griffith, New South Wales, mice invaded a mobile computer van, chewed up 5 days of printed data and used the paper to build a nest on top of the computer. Now that's a practical use for it. An employee of Transport Australia in Newcastle has dislocated his jaw at work, yawning. And the transport letter says the Workers' Compensation Board has confirmed the man is eligible for compo because it was a work-related injury.
Production jewellery. 8:15. Black tea, no milk, 1 sugar. 57 bracelets. Black tea, no milk, 1 sugar. 27 friendship rings. 2 salad, ham and cheese sandwiches. 34 snap catchers. Black tea, no milk, 1 sugar. 10 stone settings. 4:45, drive home, feet up, fine ground coffee, cream, and 2 sugars.
Percentage of nationalities working on payroll at Ford's. Italian, 19.3%. Turkish, 15%. Greek, 14.1%. Yugoslav, 13.3%. Australian, 11.6%. Arabian, 6.2%. Vietnamese, 3.5%. Maltese, 3.3%. Cypriots, 2.8%, English, 2.5%, Polish, 1%, others, 6%.
925 tried to reach out to migrant workers, including those who didn't speak textbook English. As far as the 925 collective was concerned, beauty of expression lay in the truthful rendering of experience.
Every day, in the morning, the ring in the same time, wake me up every day. In the morning, run to catch the running tram. When come to work, always on hurry, because whistle is coming. After 7:30 a.m., everybody start make noise. Hammer one side, grinder other side, and somebody try on high octave to sing some song, to try to be louder than the noise, which even himself can't properly understand. That's my life, monotone, every day.
The things you learn in a chocolate factory. The other day, they gave me a new guy to work with, a Polish guy, been in Australia 3 weeks. After a week, I could say tak, nie, dziękuję and dobranoc. Yes, no, thank you and good night. He can say
how are you? How are you? Thank you. Smoko. 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 Lemon bonbons. Cherry ripe. Chocolate eclairs, caramel whip, country mince, orange bonbons and jelly beans.
As 925 grew, the editorial team began to call for poems from people who did their work at home, raising children, keeping a house together, work without a wage, but work nonetheless. 925 also wanted to give a voice to those out of work.
Suburban Australia. You'll love Australia, the publicity man told us. My husband and I were attending a migrant seminar in our hometown in England. Lots of sunshine, the man said. Everyone has a car and a fridge. Most of the houses have large gardens. Utopia, we thought. Heaven, we thought. Paradise regained, we thought. So we came. We have a car. Well, there is no bus service. We have a fridge. Well, how can you keep food fresh in the heat? We have a large garden. Our house is an island surrounded by a grass moat. The front gate is the drawbridge. It's always let down. Why don't people come through?
Every time someone asks me where I work and I tell them Western Youth Welfare Service, all of a sudden you've got experts. Everyone's got the answer. You can bet on it. You get a guy whose friend's house was robbed, make him pay. Nothing's too bad for him. You get people who believe what they read in Woman's Day who want to talk about being born with it in your blood. Not everyone should be able to have babies. You get someone who just knows about it, doesn't think it's real bad, mind you. But their families are real bad, aren't they? And of course you get the ones who want to lock them up for their own good. I don't want to say I know, but I do. It's like chooks. The top lock pick the middle lot and keep on scratching. The middle lot pick the lower lot and keep on scratching. And the lower lot pick the living shit out of the earth and each other. Being one step off the block is risky. Steve's problem. Steve has a problem that's not in his head. Steve's problem is not Steve's problem. The problem with Steve's problem is that it's law. The fact to be a man and be mobile, you have to have a car. That's part of the problem. Another fact, he could borrow the keys from the salesman in the day, get copies made, borrow the car at night, have it back unscratched in the morning. This is not the problem. that the manager passed the lot at 11 and saw the red Hemi Pacer gone and then rang the police and yelled, "Thief! Thief!" is the centre of the problem. When the blue flashing light lit up the rearview mirror and dash, Steve knew he'd been sprung. That's only a consequence of the problem. Steve has a problem that's not in his head. The problem with Steve's problem is that everyone thinks it's his problem and that he should get his head red. Trying to be a TV-type millionaire on wages or even no wages is part of the problem. Believing everyone should get the same size slice of the pie is a real problem, especially for Steve, who's not that mobile these days.
Performance poetry was another thing the 925 Collective was strong on, promoting the poetry of work at live readings and on radio.
Now he's in a good mood. We can be in a good mood. We can be in a good mood. We can be in a good mood. Now we're in a good mood. He's in a bad mood. He's in a bad mood. He's in a bad mood. Now he's in a bad mood. We are in a bad mood. We are in a bad mood. We are in a bad mood. Now we are in a bad mood. He's in a good mood. He's in a good mood. He's in a good mood. Now he's in a good mood. We can be in a good mood.
I still have the good fortune. I think I remind myself of that every day of being a teacher. And this is probably the penance I have to pay. Is this is a story from my when I was at school, when I was in what they call now year nine, we did this to somebody. We're hoping that this is not what is going to be done to me at some stage. But anyway, this guy was an American teacher. It's called "And We Paid Back the Banker." We had this science teacher once was American. We didn't learn much until he realised that these guys appreciate rhythms. Class, today's lesson is on osmosis. Osmosis is a process where sugar passes through a semi-permeable membrane. Repeat that after me, class. We did. Osmosis is a process where sugar passes through a semi-permeable membrane. He must have thought he was pretty good. We done it for weeks. He was on an express train to Hurst Bridge because osmosis is a process where sugar passes through a semi-permeable membrane. For months, when he'd come into the class to start another topic, there'd be, But sir, we want osmosis. We want osmosis. Osmosis is a process where sugar passes through a semi-permeable membrane.
Some of 925's readings were on ABC radio, but one poem fell foul of management.
We'd like Jess Duke also, who's not here today, and in his memory, we'd really like Jess Duke to read the shit poem, which was censored by the ABC quite a few years ago. There were a lot of people who wrote in objecting to the censorship of Jess's poem, and the reason Jess wrote the shit poem was because he worked in the Melbourne Metropolitan Board of Work, which takes care of shit for us, you know? So he was writing about his work. And this is one of the letters. Sir, I protest. I am an avid listener of ABC radio. Some programs bore me, others mildly offend. Usually I enjoy, occasionally I am outraged. I regard it as a duty of the ABC to stimulate me. If I want pep, I would listen to commercial radio. I look forward to being offended by the broadcast of Just Duke's shit poem in the near future. Okay.
Well, today ABC Radio is unbanning the late Jazz Duke's poem. Jazz was an extraordinary poet, whether booming out one of his sound poems or carefully hand typesetting one of his concrete poems. He worked as a research and technical officer for the sewerage department in Melbourne.
I'm in the shit business. I work for the sewerage department. I analyse experiments. I draw graphs and flowcharts and conclusions. Today, I was sitting at my desk trying to explain the dissolved air flotation process, where streams of little bubbles are released into a tank full of sewage to float the suspended solids up to the surface to be skimmed off. But what I was really thinking about was lunchtime. The canteen cook caters to the ethnic multitudes by putting on Italian eats most days. I was thinking of ravioli with meat sauce, but I was writing things like, the sludge produced by this process is grey-brown in colour and does not produce offensive odours, provided anaerobic conditions can be prevented. The sludge is really composed of my used ravioli and the boss's used steak and your used hamburger and the vegetarian's used brown rice, all mixed up together. And when it gets into this state, no one wants to know about it, except me. I don't find shit offensive. Most people do. They can't wait to push the button or pull the chain or something. And then they think the shit has vanished into the centre of the earth. Hasn't really, just waits up somewhere else. However, it's all biodegradable. I reckon most people think that shit is the most deadly poison on the face of the earth. They'd rather face 10 tonnes of plutonium than half a bucket of shit, even their own. No curse in the English language is complete without shit included in it somewhere. Lunchtime arrived. I ate my ravioli. I had a shit. It was brown in colour. I felt a lot better.
Yay, good job.
Many of the poets who published in 925 are still active in the Australian poetry scene. Others were perhaps inspired to write about their work just for this magazine and haven't been heard from since. The editors of the new 925 book weren't able to find several contributors, so if you're out there listening, write in so we can put you in contact. Two such untraced contributors were Alan Jurd and Caterina Pasoni. Caterina's occupation was listed as meat worker, housewife and waitress, and Alan's as brickies labourer.
When you're sitting on the back steps in the evening with your broken back and you feel your kid picking the cherries of hard cement from the back of your T-shirt, for a few moments you forget the pain.
All in the family. I'm married. I want to work, but I'm married, unskilled, too old, no dole, no job. Back in my country, the women look after the home. That's what I do now, full time, instead of my old job. Now my husband notices I have leisure time. He notices I'm no longer good for bringing in the money. He tells my sons, they all look at me as if to say, this isn't Italy, you wog. For the first time in a long time, I no longer feel at home. The final part of this story is that Caterina eventually left her family, and of course we don't really know what happened to her in the end, but hopefully it turned out well. So this is her final poem for the night. Two types of waitress, it's called. I work 10 hours for 8 hours pay. That's better than double that for none. My husband won't believe I've left. It hurts him I should serve all these tables, Italian food to strange men. He wonders why I never served him with such civility. Perhaps you've changed. I want you back. He sees my room above my work is dank. It is dank, but it is mine, private. I have changed. I won't go back.
Diesel truck. Finished studying for the year, hadn't worked for a while and was offered a job driving a truck to Camberwell Market. Got the details from the CES, arranged to meet the owner of the shop. She was nursing a baby on her hip, her right arm in plaster up to her elbow. Start Friday, she said. Pick up the truck from a garage in Lygon Street. Meet her at Camberwell Market, 11:30 sharp. When I saw the truck, my first instinct was to keep walking, but I needed the money. I told myself, get in the truck and do it. Lucky for me, the guy in the garage told me the truck was diesel, or I would have filled it with super. Did a quick check of the dashboard, started up and drove out, scraping the stack pole along the bowsers. The garage attendant laughed and waved me on. By the time I made it to the freeway, I was feeling good. When I indicated, cars moved over. I started laughing. Driving trucks was not high on my list of chosen occupations, but here I was, racing along the Chandler. I felt like Moses.
Some people might think 925 is past its time, and that the only function of this new collection is retrospective. But in this era of globalisation and restructuring, perhaps it's time for a revival of the kind of poetry 925 stood for. Given the longer hours so many workers are now putting in, maybe the new mag would have to be called 9 to Midnight.
The young Alexander conquered India. Was he alone? Caesar beat the Gauls. Did he not have even a cook with him? Philip of Spain wept when his armada went down.
Was he the only one to weep? Frederick II won the Seven Years' War. Who else won it? Every page of victory. Who cooked the feast for the victors? Every 10 years, a great man. Who paid the bill?
So many reports.
So many questions.
And here in Poetica on Radio National Summer, we heard the poems and voices of Bertolt Brecht, Bonnie Henderson, Pai O, Yeltsi, Ma Bucknell, Katerina Pasoni, Peter Sullivan, Chris Berkman, Peter Jones, Thalia, Peter Murphy, Steve Bogdanovasiki, Ray Kassar, Stefan Ziolo, Betty Ori, Barry McDonald, Jazz H. Duke, Alan Jurd and Lynn Boughton. Other workers in the program were Eileen Daly, actor, Sid Brisbane, actor, Justine Sloan-Lees, recordist, Stuart Hall, sound engineer and Mike Ladd, producer. 925 Workers' Poetry from Australia was published by Collective Effort Press. Go to our website if you'd like more details at abc.net.au/rn/poetica. There you can hear the program again or leave us a comment, and we always love to hear from you. I'm Mike Ladd, and this is my second to last Poetica as presenter, though I'll still be in the background producing the program. From January 28th, we'll be live on Saturday with Sarah Kanofsky and repeated at the new time of 9 p.m. Wednesdays with Daniel Browning. Next week, I'll be presenting The Revolution Will Not Be Televised in memory of Gil Scott-Heron. Catch you then. Lingua Franca is coming up next.